WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Battle Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. We're healthy.
One of us is healthy.
It's a Thursday night. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTRLive. And interact with us throughout the night. And we have some stuff to get into. God. Yeah, we have stuff to get into tonight and talk about and things and all the things.
Wrestling had an interesting week this week.
Yeah.
Wrestling kind of lost its mind there for a minute. But it's good now. It's back.
Yeah,
it's good. It's working on being good.
There you go.
Haven't quite gotten there yet, but we're working on it. You know, it's getting there. Oh boy. Just for the record, we are not talking about specific nuclear pipe bombs that got dropped on Wednesday.
It was good. It was actually very interesting and had a lot of cool phrases in it, but we're not talking about it.
Yeah, no, if you want to hear feedback on that, listen to CB Radio, because they talk about that on CB Radio.
We talked about, well, not the pipe bomb, but we reviewed Double or Nothing on CB Radio Not So Live. It's available now. We've done a lot of podcasts this week.
Are you talking about it on WTR?
No, we have Hell in a Cell this Sunday.
Nobody's talking about it on this network. Anyway, moving on. WWE news.
Hold on. We got breaking WWE news. That's not even
what?
On. Yeah, it's not even on the sheet. We're going to break it here.
Oh, no. What happened?
So, for weeks, there were vignettes on SmackDown where Lacey Evans was being promoted and talked about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved her to Monday Night Raw.
Dang.
She's now back on SmackDown.
Can we just say she's on both and just, you know, just be done with it? Like, Jesus, do we have to have, like, a brand split at this point?
She's now contracted to be a SmackDown talent, which was what the original idea was. Anyway, let's get to actual news presented by mpgfilmsyoutube.com/mpg1211.
Oh, boy. Okay.
It came up on Twitter as we were going live. I had to bring it up.
You had to bring it up. Okay,
I did.
So, starting July 10th, everybody, there's no, like, really huge WWE story, so we're just going to start from the top. So, starting on July 10th, WWE and their program, I almost said AEW, I was like, I know. Stop! Anyway, they're going to begin their programming block, which includes biography, WWE Legends, which will cover The Undertaker, Bill Goldberg, Lex Luger, Kurt Angle, DX, Rey Mysterio, Edge, The Bell Twins, and WrestleMania 1.
I'm going to stop you. That'll be at 8 p.m. Eastern. That's when that part starts.
Okay. And The Undertaker is going to be your leadoff. His biography will be on July 10th, which I'm actually very curious to watch that and see how that's presented, because he's a part of it.
Yeah.
Which I find very cool. So I don't know if it's going to be more like The Last Ride, which was the documentary, or if they're going to have more people kind of talking about him in general, like they have in the past with the biographies. So I'm very curious to see what they do for him, because he is, once again, he's an exceptionally private person. So it will be interesting to see what is presented on him.
Probably a mixture of both.
The other programming includes WWE Rivals and WWE Smack Talk.
So that'll be 9 and 10 p.m. Eastern, respectively, where it's 9, 10, 11, something like that. That should be your lineup. So it's 3 back-to-back shows for WWE Black every Sunday starting July 10th for 2 months. Throughout the summer. So lots of content coming from the A&E Network for WWE.
Congratulations go out to Jeff Jarrett, as he not only returns to WWE, but he returns as the SVP of live events.
That's kind of an interesting thing. Like,
that's a promotion.
Like, you go from just being a producer and then sort of working live event stuff, but not really, to now being the senior vice president of live events, because the guy who was senior vice president became executive vice president. Like, Jeff has hung around the business a long time and sort of found his way back in roles that you never thought he would get at times. Especially after with the TNA run, where he got ousted in TNA, but then was back in TNA. Started his own company, which then was bought by TNA. Like, sort of merged, but didn't merge. And then he was back a little bit, and then he became a producer with WWE, and then now he's the senior, like, he has a legit corporate position with the company. It's like, so weird, but congrats to Jeff.
I mean, he definitely knows how to stay around in the business. He definitely knows how to work his way in the business. So yeah, congratulations, hats off to him. That's a cushy little job right there.
And one thing Jeff was always good at was trying to create that live event experience for TNA and stuff. Even with Global Force, when they were doing the stadium shows, he was always looking to do things. So live events was always key. Someone else needs to be the promoter and promote it.
And handle the money.
But Jeff can sort of, like, find the spots.
Yeah, Jeff knows how to find spots. And so he's in a spot where he can do that. Speaking of finding spots and being in a good place, Devon Dudley is set to return for WWE as a coach at the Performance Center. So congratulations to him.
Congrats to him after all his health issues and the whatnots and the recent surgery he's had. He's going to make his way back to WWE as a coach, because going on the road probably is not the best thing for him. So being down there and still being able to contribute to the company, even as a coach, is a good thing. And we'll see where that goes.
We will. Also, making his return, he wasn't gone long at all. Ric Flair and WWE are to partner on a 2-hour documentary about Ric Flair.
Yeah, they're partnering up with what's his name? He's a dude from Fox. Tom Rinaldi is going to be the one working on it with them and sort of help producing it and stuff like that, and probably be the voice of it. He used to work for ESPN. He now works for Fox. So I would assume this is some sort of Fox deal too. So we'll see. And that I can't confirm the Fox thing, but it's an interesting collaboration because I think Rinaldi is working on the Vince thing too that's being worked on.
He could be, yeah.
So yeah, we'll see where that goes.
But yeah, Flair, not gone long. Not surprised.
He'll always take the paycheck.
He will always find his way back in, no matter what.
Just let him in.
Right? And sticking with the Flair family for just a second, Rick had another reason to celebrate this weekend as Charlotte and Andrade celebrated their nuptials. It was a lovely event. Looks like it was enjoyed by all, so congratulations to them. She looked particularly lovely. Nice dress. Good dress. Good pick.
Congrats to them, because everyone kind of knew it was coming. This is why she is, you know, out of action at the moment, was to get married and go on the honeymoon and all the hublub about all that stuff. So, you know, good on her.
Yeah, good on her. Enjoy your honeymoon. And the wedded bliss continues as Ginny and Gunther got engaged. So congratulations to them.
Yeah, congrats to them. Kind of all makes sense now, doesn't it?
All makes sense. WWE superstar Liv Morgan will make her film debut in Yale Entertainment's dark comic thriller, The Kill Room. She joins an ensemble that also includes Uma Thurman, Samuel L. Jackson, Joe Manganiello. Manganiello. Is that how you say it? Manganiello?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't know how to say his name. Maya Hawke, Debbie Mazar, Larry Pine, Dree Hemingway, and Leah McSweeney. That is quite a cast.
That's a cast. So congrats to her to like get that. Like it's probably a small role, but it's good exposure. Good exposure. Good to see her kind of get out there to do other things. This is kind of what WWE wants to do right now. Is sort of utilize their assets, trademarks, characters, and put them out there. And get them into Hollywood and sort of do things with them.
It's a good way to continue to integrate into the entertainment genre by using the star power that they have with their talent to get them into TV shows and movies and other things. Because a lot of their talent do have an interest of doing more than just wrestling. And so rather than them leave and try to get a foothold in the industry out in Hollywood, they're basically saying, all right, well, we can kind of work something out with this where we can help you get those roles, but you're still associated with us.
Yeah.
So they can still have them wrestle and utilize that star power that she's going to get off that movie. And they can work connections because there's some big names in this film. So they can definitely, you know, partner up and work together.
Yeah, and it's a good move for them.
Mm-hmm. So before we move on to the A of the E of the W's, let's do the Bling Bruns.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
So, unfortunately, Zack Ryder suffered a torn bicep.
# blame Brent.
Before you go to the next one.
Well, I was just going to say he is going to have surgery.
I hope it's true. Because the last time we reported one, the Cardona injuries, Chelsea faked her. So, I hope it's true, but it sucks that it is true, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because he just won the title, didn't he?
He's like the NWA. He has a bunch of titles. He's the NWA World Champion. He's supposed to defend. He has a pay per view this in a week from Saturday, 11th, whenever the 11th is. So a week from Saturday. Okay. I had to look at the calendar. A week from Saturday. It's always ready is the name of the NWA pay per view. So if it's legitimate and true, it sucks. I hope it's not like him trying to sell a story because that's what she was trying to do. So I hope we're not being worked by the injury.
If it is a work, shame on you. If it isn't, feel better, Matt.
Exactly. Because last time Chelsea had the rebroke her thing and then, oh, is it only, it was a fake. It was like, oh, okay. So we'll see.
We'll see. Moving on from that, Zelina Vega is out with an undisclosed injury.
# blame Brent.
No idea what it is, but hope she feels better.
She should be back in a few weeks.
Moving on to the AEWs. We had some premieres at Double or Nothing. We had Roosh, Stokely Hathaway, and Athena. They are all elite and signed to the company, so congratulations to them.
Congrats to them. So that we'll see how AEW handles their roles in the company.
And Samoa Joe has a new role. He's going to be Sweet Tooth in Peacock's Twisted Metal series. So congratulations to him. That's cool.
Yeah, so if anyone remembers the Sony PlayStation game Twisted Metal, this is basically what it is. Samoa Joe has signed to play the dual role Sweet Tooth, voiced by actor Will Arnett in the Peacock's Twisted Metal series. Sweet Joe's Sweet Tooth character is described as a hilarious and terrifying hulk of a man who is as emotional as he is cunning, a lover of chaos. The majestic, rage-filled killer dons an ever-smiling clown mask and uses Lost Vegas as his personal kill ground, all while he drives his infamous Doomsday ice cream truck. So that's going to be coming to Peacock at some point. So Samoa Joe is a part of that group. So that's cool. That's a nice role for him. I think it was something he was working on before his time in WWE ended. I think he was kind of trying things like that. So it's good that he was able to get in with Peacock. So that kind of, you kind of get to see, you put the connections there.
Yeah.
On that one. So that's cool.
Well, that is cool. So with that, I say we're going to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
So when we come back, we're going to be talking all about Hell in a Cell.
Hell in a Cell.
So you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Greater Than Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night
event.
CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Get the hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
11 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Hey, y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Instagram. Instagram.com/Rack Radio Show.
Did you know you can use support a creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner. Six. 23. 22.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins, and you're listening to The Rack Radio Show. Something in your eyes lets me see right through you. Wrestling has more than one royal family.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. I greatly appreciate it, and we greatly appreciate it, I should say we. And if you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. And with that, we're going to do Tree of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Sonia Deville. My girlfriend woke me up this morning to tell me she had the best dream ever. Then tells me it was about cheesy garlic bread.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. That's a really good dream. I too would be like, that is the best dream ever if it's about cheesy garlic bread, because that shit is just mwah, so good. Anyway, that's all I have. One tweet. That's all I have. I'm sorry. I was a complete slack on Tweet of the Week this week.
Okay. Adam, WWE tweeted, after WWE finished the script, Adam Pearce confirmed his status as a superstar. Max Dupree is on the hunt for his first male models. Adam Pearce, surely someone who would employ a mid-40s bald graying dad bod with bifocals as a model. Perhaps JCPenney? Maybe? So there was an interaction on WWE's Raw Talk with Kevin and Becky. And like they're complaining about the announcer, Kevin, whatever his name is. Forget his last name. So the tweet was, has Fight Over Fight completely lost ahead of Hell in a Cell this Sunday? Kevin's like, no. Becky's like, didn't we decide that he no longer gets to be a Kevin? Was it a Brad? Did we even decide on Brad? Kevin, I think we named him Bert once, but Brad is good. Definitely not worthy of being a Kevin. Or of being Irish, for that matter. Becky, Bert, that was it. Maybe even a Bort. We raised them better than that across the pond. I apologize on behalf of the nation. Kevin, apology immediately accepted. Bill isn't off the hook yet, though. Becky, I'm going to tag our president here so he might have a word with Kevin Egan and maybe speed up the name-changing process. Hi, at President IRL. And that's all I got.
And with that, we are going to go to Hell in a Cell.
Hell in a Cell. Which takes place this Sunday live on the WWE Network and Peacock around the world. You go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork and make your picks. Once the full card is available after Friday night, so get your picks in by like Sunday at like 5. I guess 5 works for Brent. I don't know. Whenever you get them in to Brent, just get them in before the pay-per-view.
Just get them in before the show. It's fine.
That's the general rule of this stage. Just get them the rent before the show.
So starting off, in a handicap match, we have Bobby Lashley taking on Omos and MVP in what I hope is the final exchange of these three.
It can't be at this point now.
But they've had these. This started at Mania.
I know, and I thought it ended last month, and then I thought it ended in the cage. Like, when Bobby escaped the cage, I thought, oh, that's it. But then Bobby's like, nah, I want more. Like, you beat the man. He threw you out of the cage, but you won the match. It's like, you won the thing. You won.
Yeah, you had the cage match. Like,
you got the edge, and then it's like, oh, because he threw me out, we're going to do an Almighty Challenge, and the Almighty Challenge is what I want, a handicap match. I mean, and then we saw the contract signing on Monday. Like, I don't know. I'm not a fan of the match. It's just, maybe with MVP in the match, it will be better. That's the hope. That's the prayers that we're going into this one. If there's is such a thing with wrestling, it's like the prayers, like, come on, can we get a better match out of them? I mean, the match back at Backlash was better than the Mania match. Maybe this will be better, but I don't have any faith in it being better since it's a handicap match, and I don't know if Bobby's going to be able to... Bobby's a weird seller as a babyface, so it's like...
I'm not looking really looking forward to this, and I hate saying that because you have three very talented individuals in the ring. It's just, it doesn't do anything for me at this point. It's like I've seen everything that I want to see from it, and it's just kind of there. Like, I don't understand the point of it. I think that's my main problem. Like, why are you still fighting? What are you fighting over? Like, I understand that you had, like, MVP betray Bobby Lashley, and he goes over to Omos. Like, okay, you guys fought about that. And then that was at Mania, and that was just okay.
No, the betrayal was after Mania.
Or, I'm sorry, that was at Backlash. Thank you. Yeah. I'm sorry. And, like, you two fought about that, and now you're still fighting, and I'm not sure why they're still fighting.
I don't know. We have this. It's 2-1. Like, someone has two. Like, that should be enough. We should move on. But since it's two, then it's gonna have to be 2-2. One would assume, and then we have the final match. Because if Lashley wins, it's 3-1. Why would they go to a fifth? So, and if Omos loses a handicap match, being one of the people in the handicap match with the two, you're kind of devaluing Omos.
Well, I mean, the whole reason you're making it a handicap match is to basically have somebody on the stack side lose, right? Like, eat the pin. That's the whole point of it.
Or you beat him down so bad so Bobby has an excuse he lost 2-1. But he's the one
I don't know.
It makes my brain hurt. It makes my brain hurt. Logically, it makes my brain hurt. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't want to understand it. I kind of want to move on from this whole situation that we're in. That's kind of where I'm at with it. Like, we've seen it.
I disagree with you.
We've been there. We've done that. We saw it. We watched it twice. It's enough. And it's like, it's just a handicap match. It's like, it should be like no DQ or like Extreme Rules or something. Put them in this. Like, I thought they were going to go in the cell, but we only have the one cell match, which is great because don't need multiple. But if you were, this would have been one of the feuds to, like,
yeah, to put in there. But
yeah, I think he's going to lead the loss. I think, because it makes sense. Like, logically, if you're going to go one more round, Lashley can't keep winning because it makes no sense to keep going if the babyface is winning. Once the babyface gets his wins, he should move on to the next thing. Unless you're going to... Because they're killing Omos in this whole thing. I don't think...
Which makes no sense why they're doing that.
No, it's not. Because I don't think Lashley's the right guy for Omos. Like, you're kind of slowing down whatever... I feel like Omos's momentum has slowed down since WrestleMania. Like, he should have won at WrestleMania and build off of that, but now you've kind of turned him heel, even though he was more of a shade of gray rather than a babyface or a heel, and then it's like...
But that was fine because that was working for him.
Right, and now he's now a heel and with MVP, and I don't know. I feel like he's in a rough spot. So I'm going to go Lashley loses to Omos.
I don't know who to pick. I don't know. I'll go with Omos winning because I don't know. Like, I only know what I've seen, and I had to miss Raw for exigent circumstances. So I just, or some Raw, not all Raws, but like,
you missed two Raws out of them, basically.
Yeah, I missed two Raws. So I'll go with Omos because why the hell not?
A ball does Lashley win? Don't count on it. Wheel?
Wrestler 1.
That would be Bobby Lashley.
Okay. All right. Moving on from there, we have Austin Theory taking on Mustafa Ali for the United States Championship. Now, this is an interesting little match. You had Austin Theory. He did all the stuff at WrestleMania. He did a really good job. He kind of got a little reward in the U.S. Championship. And he's just kind of been floating along since WrestleMania. They've been keeping him in a nice spot. But then you have Mustafa Ali come in the picture. Mustafa Ali kind of made waves where he publicly said that he had asked for his request. WWE had denied it. And that he started to make waves and started to complain a little bit. And so WWE basically pushed him down, shut him up. And then magically he appeared on TV. I'm sure they worked something out.
Boy,
in a U.S. Championship match.
Boy, that story is awfully familiar.
Yeah, it feels really familiar. I can't imagine where that just, turned up at all.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Is Mustafa Ali better than you? And we all knew it. Anyway. So, Theory won the title and it's kind of been the guy. He won it right after WrestleMania, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ali is, like, in a weird spot. Like, with especially with the fan base, right? He wants to, he's back and, you know, coming back and you want him to get the good things. So him winning the championship here would satisfy that and kind of, satisfy the fan base, as it were. Retribution. It would satisfy the fan base. Mustafa comes back and they're treating him fine. Him losing, the fan base will go, well, you see, they're still not doing anything with him. Yada, you know, the internet fan base, how they are. From a storyline standpoint, Austin Theory has been one up on Mustafa Ali kind of the entire time, with Vince McMahon kind of like in the background without actually seeing him. Just, you know, he's the power that be, just doing the things and sort of allowing Austin Theory to have his way with Mustafa Ali. And then Vince on Monday decided to make, you know, wants to see this as a fair fight at the pay-per-view, the premium live event known as Hell in a Cell. It's tough because you want to keep Austin Theory's trajectory moving. Like, he's kind of stalled by being in this program because he's been more, he hasn't been on TV as all the time. I think he missed an episode, but he's been, you kind of see they're like, okay, Austin's our guy. He's the guy we want to push a little bit. This match is going to be good, especially given time. And it's a real test for both men in some way. You kind of want to see what Austin Theory can do in a big singles match on a PLE. And this is Mustafa Ali, who's a really good worker, and we've seen him perform in such situations. This is their chance to shine.
This is absolutely their chance to shine, and I feel like, especially for Mustafa, he is incredibly motivated. He is not content with just sitting on the sidelines. He's not content to just be a WWE superstar. He wants to win titles. He wants to be on top. He wants to grow and do things, because he made it mention that he saw one of his kids in the ring playing around in the ring, and he realized that this just isn't about him. This is about his legacy. This is about what he's going to pass on to his children. And he doesn't want to pass on that he was just a WWE superstar, you know, who didn't do anything. He wants to pass on that he was a title holder, that he did actual things. And that's not to discredit him at all. He has done things in the company, but some of the things are not the best. Retribution being, you know, the biggest one and most recent one. But he had really, in terms of that booking, I think nothing to do with that. He was just the unfortunate recipient of that booking. But it still was not a good place for him. And so he's driven and he's motivated and he wants to do more. I don't know how to pick this match, because like you said, Theory's the guy on the rise, but Theory's just been kind of drifting since WrestleMania. And then you have kind of your upstart in Mustafa Ali, and I want such nice things for him. Like, I want him to win titles and do things, because I think he's an incredibly talented individual.
Yeah.
I think they've kind of sort of like screwed him over a little bit with stuff like the Retribution storyline, with some other things that they've done with him, because he's been consistent. He's been good for them when he can get on TV. And I feel like they've been kind of sleeping on him a little bit, because it's like the Mansoor stuff. He and Mansoor got that shit over. Like, everybody loved it, and they kind of got screwed over when they split the tag team. It was just purely so they could fight in Saudi Arabia. That was it. But they got it over.
Yeah.
But it was still just, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, I just feel like, in a way, WWE has not done right by him. And I want to see him win the title. I'm going to be real. I want to see Mustafa Ali win. Theory can recover.
Yeah. I mean, he can recover, but I have a feeling he doesn't get the win. I'm going Theory over Ali because of Miz. I think Miz interferes and keeps the belt on Austin Theory. That's my prediction. You're going Ali over Theory?
Yeah, I'm saying Ali wins.
Magic 8-Ball, does Mustafa Ali win the U.S. title? Outlook, good. Wheel?
Wrestler 1.
That would be the champion, Austin Theory.
Hey. All right, moving on. Hold on, where did my window with the sheet go? There it is. In what has been hilarity and a classic, I love this so much, you have Ezekiel taking on Kevin Owens. This feud has been stupid. It has been idiotic, but it has worked. Why has it worked? Because Ezekiel and Kevin Owens have been turning in some of their best work with it, especially Kevin Owens. Like, good God, the man is just ridiculously talented. He can get a broom over.
He could definitely get a broom over. It is this whole feud has been great. So on SmackDown, Kevin did a special KO show on SmackDown. Because there's crossover, and that's kind of what they're doing now, crossing over people a little bit. Which is fine. You have your brand split, but you can just move people around whenever you want them for story's sake. And Kevin's been on this rampage about Ezekiel and all these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then his buddy Sami Zayn says, I agree with you. And Kevin had that look. Oh my God, I'm so happy. And he gave his best frenemy a hug. And the pure satisfaction is like, someone finally believes me.
I feel so validated.
And it was that perfect moment. And then they got into an argument. And Sami said, I was only lying and yada, yada, yada. But for that moment, they had a touching moment. But Kevin just obsession with knowing it all, like trying to figure it all out, is kind of like some of the best content that there is. And he's doing his best to kind of get this whole thing over, right?
Well, the hardest thing is like you have poor Ezekiel. You had Ezekiel off TV for months and months and months and months, and everybody was kind of wondering what was going on with him. Like, nobody was really sure. And he comes back, and at first I didn't even recognize him. I didn't even realize who it was. I was like, who is that guy? He looks familiar, but it's like, oh, wait, I know who that is. And I think WWE did the absolute smart thing with him, which is they acknowledged that there is no way in hell that the majority of the audience isn't going to know this is the same guy that played Elias. We just shaved him. That's all we did. We just cleaned him up a little bit. So how do we get around that? How do we do that? You know what? We're going to say that this is Elias's brother, Ezekiel. And then you have Kevin Owens go on this rant that it's a giant conspiracy theory and no, they're the same person and he's got all this evidence and everything. And he just keeps deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into this. And it's just incredible how they did this. Like I said, this is the stupidest storyline ever. It shouldn't work, but it does because of the people that you have involved in it. Because Ezekiel's just been playing it so perfectly opposite Owens. And then you bring Sami Zayn into it, like you said. And just the whole thing is just wonderful.
And Chad Gable's been great in it. I want to go back to Tweet a Week for a minute. Okay. We're going to listen to the clip from Raw Talk. We'll probably have a couple of them. But I want you to listen to this clip first and just sort of see how it just adds to the story.
That it would be Kevin Owens. Thrilled to be joined now by Kevin. Kevin, if we can have a word for Raw Talk, please, I'd appreciate it. Your thoughts after seeing Ezekiel win yet again.
You think it's funny what you just said? That I helped him win? You think it's cute? Do you think you're cute? Huh? No? I think you think you're cute. Are you going to sit? I don't want to stare up at you. Tell me you think you're cute. I'm not saying nothing until you admit it. You think you're cute?
Just a little bit cute.
You're not cute! You're handsome, but right now you're not being cute. Do you understand? Look, you know what? It's fine. You want to be cute? Be cute. Be cute. Have those gorgeous blue eyes. Stand here, ask your little cute questions. It won't change what's going to happen to Elias or Ezekiel, whatever you want to call him, cute boy, at Hell in a Cell, because I'm going to beat the hell out of him. It's in the name, Hell in a Cell. We're not going to be in a cell, but I'll beat the hell out of him. So half the name of the show is going to be involved in my match when I beat the hell out of him, because that's what he deserves. That's what he deserves. I'm consumed by it. That's what I'm going to do.
Why does he bother you so much?
Why does he he doesn't bother me. He's driving me insane, okay? WrestleMania was a tough night for me. Biggest night of my career. Huh? The KO show, main event, WrestleMania. Biggest thing ever. I go in with a bad back. Steve Austin takes advantage. Huh? Beats me. Two nights later, I go in the ring to tell everybody what a travesty that was. And this guy comes out with his little salmon-colored trunks, with his new music, thinks he's fooling people, and he lies to my face. He lied. The lie detector test. I'm so glad you brought that up. You know what? I've been thinking and racking my brain. How did he pass the lie detector test? What did he do? How? I was thinking and thinking and thinking, and then I got it. You know what? I have a theory. Here's the thing. I'm telling you it's Elias, right? But maybe he was born Ezekiel. Maybe he was born Ezekiel, but that's how he beat it. Because if he was born Ezekiel, then it's fine. He was born, whatever, 38 years ago. I don't know how old he is. He was born Ezekiel. And he did have a brother named Elias. But then his brother died 20 years ago. Who cares? And then he came to WWE, and that's when he picked the name Elias as a tribute to his brother. But it still makes Ezekiel Elias. You understand what I'm saying?
To be honest.
God, Ezekiel is Elias. Elias is Ezekiel. They're the same person. Do you understand?
Kevin,
what?
Sorry. We're being told we're actually out of time.
What?
Back to you guys.
I'm not done.
Thank you for the time.
No, Ezekiel is Elias. It's the same person.
It's so good. Like, it's just so good.
There's more.
What's she gonna do? Cut and paste her way to the top?
Who said that? Who was that?
I.
That's me.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
What are you doing?
Huh?
What are you doing?
Oh.
Kevin was just sitting on.
I'm sulking, I guess.
Why?
Well, I'm sulking because I was on Raw Talk earlier, and they cut me off. I was in the middle of making a very important point, and they just sent back to the studio.
Well, that was Kevin Patrick.
Yeah. Hey, what's this problem? You work with him.
I do.
You don't like him.
No, there's got to
be some sort of... What? I don't think so.
I mean,
okay?
He's Irish, so...
Well, that's probably
but
his only quality.
Really,
that's the best.
That was really rude. We're
right?
Raised better
that's
than
not,
that.
Yeah, he's giving you guys a bad name.
Yeah.
But you, Sarah, you see what I was saying, right? About so Ezekiel was, maybe he was born Ezekiel, but then because when he started in WWE, he took the name Elias because of his dead brother. And then...
Oh, I don't
You
know.
See what I'm saying?
No, I don't. I
what?
Don't. Sorry, Kale.
You don't get it? I mean, he made it very clear. It's obvious,
you
right?
You get it.
Yeah, of course. Ezekiel, he was born Ezekiel, but he had an older brother, and his brother's name was Elias, but something happened to Elias. We don't know what happened. So then when he came to WWE, he called himself Elias in dedication to his brother, but then he went away, and then when he came back, he just shaved off his beard and started calling himself Ezekiel, but he was Ezekiel the whole time.
Right. So Ezekiel is Elias, Elias is Ezekiel. No, you're not, no. You're not doing this again. No. You're not sending a no. Wait.
Good luck on Sunday. Back to you guys.
You can't do that to Becky.
It's so good.
It's so stupid, but it's so good. It just
I love that Becky
works.
I love that Becky played into it too.
That she's like, yeah, no, I get it. I believe you. And Kevin's like, see, she gets me.
She understands.
It's so good.
So good. Kevin is great. It's going to drive him nuts when Elias beats him on Sunday. Or Ezekiel beats him on Sunday.
When Ezekiel wins, it's going to be bad. But that's okay. It'll be fine.
It's totally fine. It's fine. Oh, it's such great storytelling. Oh, so good. So good. All right. Who you going with?
I have to go with Ezekiel. Like, I'm sorry. I love KO, and he's been doing some tremendous work, but I feel like Ezekiel's going to win here.
It would be funny if he did, too. It really would.
It would be hilarious. Because
it would drive Kevin nuts. It would drive him insane. Like, he's already insane, but, like, it would be that, like, one final...
It'd just push him over.
Push him over. I'm going Kevin, because I think they want to give Kevin the win just to center him.
Uh-huh.
But I could totally see Ezekiel going over.
Like, you could have Kevin pick up another win. Because he's winning just in terms of, like, the work that he's been doing in this feud. And you can always have him pick up a victory somewhere else if you need him to. But, yeah, I see. Just for the sake of Ezekiel, I feel like he kind of has to win here.
All right, so you're going Ezekiel. I'm going Kevin. 8-ball Ezekiel beats Kevin. You may rely on it.
Ooh.
Wheel.
Wrestler 1.
That's Ezekiel.
All right. Well, here's another interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
Born out of WrestleMania, you have the Judgment Day, which is... Damian Priest, Rhea Ripley, and Edge taking on Finn Balor, AJ Styles, and Liv Morgan.
This is going to be a fun six-person tag.
This is going to be very fun. There's a lot of history here between everybody involved. You've been building between Rhea and Liv and doing a really good job with that. You have the stuff between AJ and Edge, and then Finn and Damian, Finn and Edge. They all have history together. It's going to be super good.
And it's an Edge match, so you know it's going to get a lot of time.
Yeah, so it's going to be slow to start, and then it'll build like it always does. But here's the interesting thing about this. So, Edge has been teasing that they're going to get a fourth member of Judgment Day. Nobody knows if it's true, but Edge has been teasing it, and there have been a lot of names...
That he puts out on Twitter.
That he puts out on Twitter about who could it possibly be. And one potential candidate at one point was one Finn Balor.
It was.
Could the demon be lured to the dark side?
A demon could be lured to the dark side. But what if it's not? What if there isn't a fourth. What if the fourth is not with the company and rejoins the company?
When would he come back?
Would it be soon? Could it happen at
Hell in a Cell?
Because he would be a person looking for judgment.
If it's who I think you're talking about, yes, he would be a person looking for judgment, but it wouldn't be against those three. It would be against somebody else.
I mean, possibly. I think the Fiend is dead. Anyway.
Yeah, okay. Let's just address the elephant in the room. So, your boy, Mr. Watunda, has been out here talking on Twitter. And he's been saying that, oh, he's ready to come back, and oh, he's going to do things, and it's going to be soon, and everybody will have patience, or everybody needs to have patience, because, you know, once he comes back, he will remind everybody of who he is and why we cheer his name. Okay. So, from a character standpoint, if he does come back, the Fiend is not going to come back. They have, I don't want to say killed it, but they have at least dismembered it to the point that the Bray Wyatt gimmick, the Fiend gimmick, all of that has been taken apart and spread across multiple, and I mean multiple talents. I don't know if I'll lose my shit. That's the thing. Like, I don't know if I can fall in love again. It's going to be hard. Just because with the firing of Bray, I have purposely not been able to fall in love with any other talents since then. Like, to that degree. There's people that I like, but it's just I don't want to connect to anybody in the company because there for a while, it's like you'd find somebody you'd like and then they get fired. And then you'd find somebody else you'd like and they get fired. And maybe I just have poor taste in wrestlers. I don't know. But, like, with Bray getting let go, it's kind of like, I don't want to connect to anybody because basically the message they've sent to me is everybody is replaceable. And there's no point in attaching to anybody because everybody can be replaced. So, if Bray Wyatt, Wyndham Rotunda, whatever he's going to call himself, returns to WWE, which is being theorized, is purely speculation. There is no guarantee. There is no indication. There is no. He got fired. Hard fired. He will not come back. I don't think he would come back with the Bray Wyatt gimmick. I think Bray Wyatt's dead.
The name is still alive. It would be a new gimmick.
Yeah, he would come back up with something new, which I'm not opposed to seeing him do. Because as we've seen, clearly, he is very good at creating gimmicks and getting them over. He's very, very skilled at that. I don't know if he would necessarily want to come in as a subordinate of Edge. Like, that's kind of a weird one for me. But maybe he comes in and he is redeemed by Edge. Like, Edge brings him back and is like, I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to raise you back up. I'm going to pull you out of the darkness that you've been in for so long and give you a second or third or fourth or 20th chance, however many chances he's had. You could tell that story. That's if this happened. I don't think it's going to.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't think it's Bray at all. If there's a fourth member of Judgment Day, I don't think it's Bray coming back. I don't know anything about the situation. I know what I've heard. I know what I've seen in terms of rumor and speculation. I think there has to be some repair work that happens with that. And I think it has to happen on both sides of the fence for him to return to WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think he's going to accept anything less than what he was making. And I don't think he's going to necessarily accept anything less than the creative control that he had before. And I don't think that they're willing to give him that in terms of control. Might be willing to give him the money. But in terms of the creative control, I don't think they're willing to do that.
Yeah, I don't think he's returning. It's just fun speculation at this point.
Yeah, because he's been out there on Twitter messing with people. So it's like, okay, all right, we see you, Wyndham. We see you.
It's fun to bring up here because there isn't much to speculate about this match because we've talked about it. We've talked about the AJ and Edge stuff for 2 months now, Liv and Rhea for a month and a half now. We've covered it all. It's going to be a fun match.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be physical.
It's going to be physical. It's going to be enjoyable. It's going to be interesting interactions with Liv and you know, that side, and Rhea on the other side. It'll be nice and different. It'll be a fun match on the PLE. This is one where I think Judgment Day could end up taking a hit and taking a loss because AJ's side needs something. I mean, I know Liv. I think Liv.
Liv picked up a win.
Yeah, she got the win over Rhea, but like the men, it's been.
There were shenanigans with that.
Yeah, there's always shenanigans, and it's like, but then again, Judgment Day was not Edge wasn't there, but they were on the they weren't standing tall on Monday, so that leads me. Oh, no, maybe. I don't know. What's your pick and thoughts and stuff?
I feel like you have to have Judgment Day stand a little tall here, or if you have a fourth member show up, or if you have somebody turn, that would be the only way that I could see. Well, if you have somebody turn on the Finn AJ Liv side, the other factor is that is Liv could turn and rejoin Rhea. I don't know if that's going to happen, but you could have that happen. I could see AJ's team obviously taking a loss there. I could see a fourth member showing up and costing AJ's team all the win there. I don't know, though. I kind of want to see Judgment Day win, but they don't win under clean circumstances. I want to see this be a dirty finish. Just because I feel like to continue the feud, which is what the plan is,
mm-hmm.
especially because you have something going with Finn and AJ and Liv, that you kind of need to maybe have them face some adversity, especially with Liv picking up the win on Raw. Because
mm-hmm.
I feel like you need to start rolling Judgment Day's momentum a little bit, because they have momentum, but it's kind of sort of very slow moving, I guess, in a way for me.
Yeah.
And I think you need to give them a little bit more oomph. I think you need to make them be a little bit more badass, because obviously you have three very badass individuals and they should be dominant. They should be kicking everybody, taking everybody out. So it's kind of good that you're having them face a little bit of adversity, but at the same time, you should have them maybe kind of steamrolling over people a little bit. I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird thing.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how to feel about the AJ Finn Liv thing. Because it's like, is it temporary? Is it permanent? Are they going to kind of drift apart? Like, what's the plan there? Like, I know what the plan is for the Judgment Day faction. They're going to stay together for a few months, right? What's the plan for the other side? Is it just a temp situation? Is somebody turning? Are multiple people turning? Is AJ going to be out? Like, how long is this going to go for?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the answer to that question. I really don't. It's like, because I don't feel like the storytelling has really been there with it.
Yeah.
Based on what I've seen. I don't know. Let's see what. Edge won at Mania.
And a Backlash.
You had Liv pick up a victory on Raw.
I think AJ got a win, or Finn, one of them got a win over Damian at some point.
I think it was AJ. AJ got a win over Damian. So they're kind of 50-50.
But on the big stage, they're not. I'm going baby faces go over, because it adds more fuel for the Judgment Day to go darker and will be more aggressive coming out of it.
I can go with that. I'll agree with that.
So you're going baby faces?
I'm going baby faces.
8-Ball, does Judgment Day win on Sunday? Very doubtful. Wheel?
Wrestler 1.
That's baby faces.
All right. Moving on to the Raw Women's Championship match. This will be fun.
Yeah.
This will be physical. This will have some epic fashion. You have Bianca Belair taking on Asuka, taking on Becky Lynch in a three-way for the title. I don't know who I want to win. Is that wrong? I take that back. I don't want Becky to win.
I pick Naomi. Oh, wait.
They've done a really good job with this feud in terms of building it, in terms of reestablishing Becky as the not champion. You have Asuka kind of being the antagonist to Becky. They've both been antagonizing Bianca. You've been heating this up really well. You've been having them take little snipes at each other, get a little physical here and there. It's great. I can completely see any of these women winning the match, but I personally want Bianca to win.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of clear Bianca's going to win this one. It's just sort of like, we're on that path again, where it's like, okay, well, she won it at Mania, so we got to keep the belt on her a little bit to keep, you know, keep fans happy so they don't cancel the networks and stuff like that. We got to keep them all happy and keep the title reign going. And they're building her as the foundation of the brand and, the division. I would love to see, we saw it on Monday, Bianca and Asuka, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of want to see more of it. They're holding off on doing Becky and Bianca one more time in a straight single, because you shouldn't go back to that just yet. It's going to be a good match. Bianca's going to retain. That's my pick. Would it be shocking if Asuka somehow picked up the win and won walked out with the belt? No. But I see Bianca pinning Becky to kind of move Becky away and have her have to have the redemption arc to get back in the spotlight. And you can go to Asuka and Becky and go back to that and find Bianca another opponent. So that's my pick.
I think that's a good pick. I'm going to agree. I would say Bianca. There's no reason to take the title off of her. She just won it back. I would say you have her hold it till SummerSlam at the earliest.
Yeah, that's a good title. Again, that's a good title reign holding it through SummerSlam. Just anyway, Magic 8-Ball, does Asuka win? You may rely on it. Oh.
Mm.
Wheel?
Wrestler 2.
Asuka.
Okay. All right. And last, but certainly not least, in what should be the epic conclusion, potentially, to their feud, you have Seth freaking Rollins taking on Cody Rhodes in a Hell in a Cell. This is another one that they've done a lot of really good work with. You can see that the focus has been on the two championship matches, or this match and the Raw Women's Championship. And you had a nice little pull-apart brawl between Seth and Cody, because Seth has lost twice now to Cody.
He has.
And he's kind of becoming a little, I'm going to say unhinged.
That's good. That's a good word for it.
And he had a, like, he came out this past Monday night on Raw, and he cut this really fantastic promo on Cody, where he talked about Cody's past in AEW and how Cody, you know, basically he had this really awesome line of you can't break the throne. You can't leave and break the throne and come back and expect to take my spot. And that doesn't even do it justice, because that's not the full line, but that was basically the gist of the line. And it was really well done.
You can't break the throne and expect to come back and take what I built.
There you go. That's
something to that effect.
Something to that effect. Basically, that Seth, after Cody left, Seth Rollins picked up the ball and ran with it. And has carried the company on his back ever since. Which is true. He and Roman have carried that company along with several others. But I like that they had Seth say that. I like that they acknowledged that. That that's what Cody had done. That he had gone somewhere else. He had built his own name. But he came back. And Seth's like, not on my watch. You're not taking what's mine. And you had a little pull-apart brawl between the two. They came to words. They came to blows. Again, I thought that was all really well done. I'm here for a good pull apart brawl when it makes sense.
They've done a really good job at building this and continuing to build it. And it's not that it's been repeated, because we've been building this coming out of Mania. So this is 2 months for the story. They've kept it fresh every time, and they're adding little elements. And the fact that they mentioned things that happened in the other galaxy kind of is unlike WWE, because for years they would never go there when it came to the other company with TNA. That never existed. The fact that WWE acknowledged the galaxy of AEW, in a way, is kind of it's a bigger story than people kind of have given credit to it. Because, yeah, it's the whole Cody story, and it has to be told and all that. But WWE doesn't usually use things that happened outside of their universe. They don't go to the other galaxy. They stay in the universe. So the fact that they did, I kind of really liked, and it really helped push the story further. Seth here is going to lose again, because there's no reason to beat Cody, especially when you want Cody to be a thing when he goes against the head of the table at some. But this is going to be a good sell. This is, if you think about it, this is the biggest redemption Cody could ever have in WWE up to this point, right? He's in the main event. This show's not built around Roman. It's not, or the bloodline. This show's built around him. He's been back 2 months. Anyone who says, you know, we talk about it every time, is like, oh, they're just gonna put him back in the mid. No, he's the main. He's the star of the show. He's the focus.
They are building him to challenge Roman at some point, whether it's he wins Money in the Bank and he goes on to challenge Roman, whether it's he earns a title shot on his own. They are building him as the next challenger for Roman Reigns and getting him ready to go, presumably for, I would guess, SummerSlam. He's going to go through Seth, and then he's going to maybe have a little tweener, and then he's going to go right for Roman. Or he just goes straight to Roman.
It's going
to
be interesting to see what they do and who they put him up against coming out of this. Because that's the biggest question, because I don't know who the next person is. Money in the Bank helps, because you can kind of fake it until you make it and sort of wait to figure out the SummerSlam program from there. You can set the seeds and stuff, especially if Cody's going in the ladder. I assume Cody's going to be in the bank. You win the cell, you should go into the bank, because I think Roman has other challengers lined up. And I don't think Roman's defending at the bank anymore. Because since they moved it indoors, I think he's going to be...
No, I think he's there, but I think he's not working.
Right. I think he's going... His next defense is SummerSlam. At this point, it was going to be at the bank, but it's been moved.
There's no point to really have Roman defend at Money in the Bank, because then it's somebody could run in and challenge him, right, or knock him out. So from Roman's perspective, the smart move is to really not even be at Money in the Bank. It's a stupid suggestion, I know, but you're the champion and you have somebody that's going to win a briefcase that guarantees them a title shot anytime, anywhere that they want to do it, and they can basically sneak attack you and steal your title. The last thing that you want to be is at that event.
Or any event.
So it makes sense that once the Money in the Bank winner gets crowned, Roman Reigns gets pretty scarce and pretty hard to find. And Cody's kind of, or I shouldn't say Cody, I shouldn't presume, but like whoever wins the men's Money in the Bank should be basically trying to lure Roman out, call him out. Like, it's an interesting note that Roman Reigns is conveniently taking a vacation right around the time of Money in the Bank, that he's not scheduled for any events in July heading into SummerSlam. Just to point that out. So, because this is the one real potential threat for Roman, is he can kind of blow everybody off. He can use his power and his authority to stop matches and everything else. But once Money in the Bank gets named, he has no authority there. He can't stop that.
Nope.
And he could dodge a bullet when he only had one title. But here's the thing. Now he has both titles. So whoever wins that briefcase, they're coming for him. And he can't stop it.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really curious to see how this goes down. But yeah, as much as I would love to see Seth win, just because I feel like Seth's been doing really, really good work, it's going to be Cody. There's no reason to have Cody lose at all.
No, there isn't. He has to keep on winning. It's kind of the way the story is playing out. Like, he needs to win and continue to win. So I'm going Cody over Seth.
Yeah, I say Cody. You have to get him ready for Money in the Bank, because Cody's going to be in the Money in the Bank match. Seth could be too.
Seth will probably be in it too. You're going to continue. The story will continue in a way, but this is the blow off of the one-on-ones. This is the conclusion to it until they need to go back to it. This is the trilogy. This should end it with Cody standing tall, because it makes no sense for Seth to win. This is Cody's biggest redemption in terms of where he was. I think he did one sell before. With DX, I think they did SL, but it wasn't like the main event sell. Yeah, it was a main event. It was Legacy, though, I think. It was Legacy versus DX.
I thought it was Randy versus Hunter.
Can't hear you.
Sorry, I had to blow my nose. I don't think he was like in the actual physical cell match. I think it was Randy versus Hunter.
DX versus...
And Legacy was there.
No, it was DX versus Legacy in Hell in a Cell, 2009.
Okay, all right.
But that's sort of where his peak point was, and then he kind of went
down.
But
again, he was a background player in Randy Orton's group. He wasn't the focus. He wasn't the main event like he is now.
Yeah, this is the big solo star. He's got the solo main event. All right, so you have Cody. I have Cody. A-Paul Cody? Nope. Wheel?
Wrestler 2.
That? Cody.
Okay. All right. So do you agree with our picks? Let us know. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Lens Ward, or, you know, you can submit your picks for the show and see if you do any better than we do. But I think that does it for us. What do you think?
Okay, chat. We have to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Chat. Conversation time. Listen up. 6/23/22 is 10. And here's what we're doing.
Yep.
We're asking, we want you guys to ask the rack.
I'm bringing it back.
So, submit your questions. You can tweet them at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show. Do the thing. Tweet us questions. You can email them, media@wildtalkradio.com. And send in any random thought, question you have. We'll answer anything about the 10 years, about it, and anything you want. Fortnite, wrestling, sports. No politics. That's the one thing we will...
Yeah, no politics.
We will ignore any questions submitted about politics. I will ignore and just delete. Yes, anything goes except for politics. You can ask. We will discuss it on Ask the Rack. 6/23/22. So that's the deal for that show. We'll probably do some news. but probably not. We're probably just going to focus it around just talking about 10 and then answering your questions and stuff. That's kind of the deal. If you don't submit them beforehand, we'll take them all as we go live. Maybe we'll just do things live too. So if you want to ask us questions early, you can tweet them at Wild Talk Radio. We will take your questions as we go as well. We'll figure it out as we go. But we're going to play Ask the Rack 6-23-22 for 10. That's how that's going. Okay? So we're clear on that. Now, chat, listen up. Saturday, 3:30-ish, Lindsay will be live at twitch.tv/Lindsay Ward for the Chapter 3 Season 2 live event in Fortnite Battle Royale, which is the ultimate Battle Royale experience. So it's a Fortnite event. It's called Collision. That takes place around 4. She'll be live a little bit beforehand and get you all caught up and do the thing. So there's that. So you can experience it. Brent will be there, I think. We think. Never know with him. But we assume he's going to be there. And he'll be there with Lindsay on her channel talking about it and reacting as it's happening. I'm 50-50.
It depends if he's committed elsewhere.
If I'm committed elsewhere. So that's kind of like where we're at on it. But there'll be a reaction. And she'll have a video on YouTube afterwards. We'll have a video. I'll have my perspective on the Rack YouTube as well. So you'll get all that afterwards. Because Fortnite will then be down. There is no Fortnite with friends. But out of our gracious hearts, we're going to cover NXT in your house and react to it right after the show ends. The Rack Extra Reviews in your NXT in your house. Myself, Lindsay, and Brent will do that in place of Fortnite with friends, which probably means CB Radio is going to start closer to midnight than midnight-ish. So there's that. And I'll tell you now, the debate's going to be Fortnite-centric. So there's that to look forward to. So we're going to kind of deal with that, kind of give you some Fortnite stuff in that manner on CB Radio. Cool? We got all that? Hopefully. Sunday night, WTR Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, 11 p.m.-ish. One Talent Cell's over. They will review it. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Following that, at 11:30, will be the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. Season 3, Episode 1. Following that at midnight will be the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. Season 3, Episode 2. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get it. Rack Radio Show. Subscribe. Get the podcast at those times. So there's that. We will be back next Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, to review the entire Hell in a Cell. Give you all the news and notes and whatever at our normal time, Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern. Got all that? Cool. It's at Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms and wherever you get your podcasts, whether that's Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts. Got it. I just said Wrestle Talk Radio will be on after the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. Eleven-ish, Hell in a Cell, WTR Sunday night. We got it. You write it all down. Speaking of writing things down, you can support the channel if you have Amazon Prime by linking your Twitch account. That's called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also support the channel when you buy your brand new battle passes this Sunday when the season goes live, when Lindsay will be probably streaming that too.
And she'll talk
with coffee. Use creator code Rockinsock or
Lindsay M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners, and you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, I-N-S-W-R-D. You can follow my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Linsward, where I stream Fortnite and Genshin Impact. We just wrapped up the Archon Quest and Genshin Impact, so if you want to check that out, that is all of this past week's content. But yes, I will be live Saturday for the Fortnite event, and then I will be streaming the new season if it comes out on Sunday or Monday, depending when they decide to set it live. You can use the creator code, but you can also check out my YouTube channel, linsward.rackradioshow.com, or just look for Linsward on the YouTubes, and you can see all my past content there. And if you're on YouTube, please check out our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. We will be seeing you Saturday night with the NXT In Your House review. So till then, hope you have a great one. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.